Okay, hello everybody. It is Monday, May 15th, and I have the pleasure of speaking with another classmate, Meredith Van Bemmel. And it's a beautiful day in New Jersey. What's the weather like where you are, Meredith?
It's actually hot and sunny. And
Oh.
by hot, I mean, let's see, 95 degrees.
Whoa, that's hot.
It's not usually that hot here, but it is
Where
today.
in Washington are you?
We're not that far from the border with Oregon. So
Okay.
there's Portland, Oregon on the Columbia River, and then
Yep.
we're about half hour north.
Great. It's unusual for it to be that hot, isn't
It is, and we've had a lot of rain the last couple of months. I mean, pouring down rain, which is a little bit more than normal, but usually at the end of May, beginning of June, somewhere in June, it just stops raining totally until like September.
it? Oh.
So that's kind of the marine climate that
Got
this
it.
is.
West Coast Marine. I remember that from 8th grade geography.
Oh, good for you.
And if not, nobody would ever know the difference. So, anyway, I've been starting off these interviews, for lack of a better word, by asking people to kind of fill me in or fill the class in as to what you've been doing the past 55 or 56 years.
Yeah, I bet you've gotten quite a variety of answers.
Yes, I have. And actually, it's been incredibly interesting. So.
I would think so. Yeah. Went to college at the University of Oregon. Then after a year or two of working, I went back to grad school for my degree in speech language pathology, and I worked with children for a couple of years with speech impediments, and then the Visiting Nurse Association, working with aphasic patients. And then we had my son. Well, I got married. We had my son. And then I went back to school and got a degree in nursing
Yeah.
and did that for the rest of my career in dialysis. I was a dialysis nurse. And we lived in Oregon, in Washington. A short stint in California, a couple of years in New Mexico because my son moved down there to work.
Right.
And we bought a farm and had 6, 8 years on the farm, which was
Wow.
really a fun
I'm
experience.
sure it was.
Yeah.
How did you wind up at the University of Oregon? Just out of curiosity.
My parents moved to Oregon after my first year of college.
Oh, I see.
So I went to my first year of college actually in Maryland.
Right.
Transferred. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I've never been to the campus. It just looks absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
You know, it have you been to the Pacific Northwest? Have you been to Oregon and
Yeah,
Washington?
actually, I was at Oregon State a couple of years ago, but that was Corvallis, farther up the coast.
Right.
And I've been to, obviously, to Washington, to Microsoft and Oracle.
Oh.
Oracle is California. Microsoft, yeah.
Microsoft is up, yeah, in Redmond, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, to me, it's a beautiful climate. We have 150, 200 feet Douglas fir trees on our property, and there's a lot of, it's always green, you know,
Sure.
that's how it is. But there's so much rain that it does chase a lot of people away.
Right. So are you still working or have you retired?
I'm retired at age 65.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so it's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know exactly how old everybody is, so I can do the
Yeah.
calculations myself.
It's no big deal when you get to be this age.
Well, it's kind of funny. Some people are so self-con not for this, but so many people are self-conscious about their age that in this type of a setup, nobody can really lie more than a year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, if you had to, evaluate or put a number from 1 to 10 on your high school experience, what would you give it? A 10 being, super. Super and one being abysmal. I know it's hard. It's a
It's nice from hindsight to look at that, because with age comes hopefully wisdom. And
I heard with age comes a lot of pain and suffering.
That, well, that too. Yes. Yeah. But I would probably say about a 5. Yeah. I mean, because there were good things and there were bad things, you know.
Okay, well, that's a perfect segue into asking you, what did you find really good and what did you find really not so good?
Well, I think you were also in the band, were you not?
I was, trombone.
Trombone, that's right. I remember. And so I thought band and orchestra were probably the best parts of high school for me anyway.
By the way, it's amazing. Everybody that I've spoken with who, you know, was in either band or orchestra or something, you know, said that was by far the best thing that they experienced. Yep.
That's because I think there was a sense of community, because you had to all work together to make sure that, you know, like when we marched in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which was another wonderful thing, you had to be all together and in sync and all that. And so it created a lot of cohesion, I think.
Yeah. How about the not so good?
Well, looking back, I think it comes with time that you realize that, hey, I could have been more assertive or more less of a teenager, you know, that angst of teenage.
Oh, children. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't. But I mean, and we were right on the edge of the Vietnam War and also on the edge of the civil rights movement.
Sure.
And I wish I had more sense of confidence to be involved in things like the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
You know, that's very interesting. I spoke with Suzanne Gallo last week, who I really didn't know very well in high school. You know, and she lives in Oakland. And in fact, I'm kind of amazed. At least half the people that I've spoken with live on the West Coast.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So Suzanne was saying that she really did get involved early on in like the civil rights and the Vietnam War protests. You know, I have to admit that the more I look back at what I did in high school and who I was just stuck in Leave It to Beaver. You know, amazing.
That's part of the development that needs to happen as you get older anyway. So
okay, so I've asked people lots of questions, but the one that I get I guess I'm not sure if it's the most interesting answer is the one for people to tell me about if they had any extremely funny or embarrassing situation that happened to them.
Well, I don't know if they were funny or it kind of was funny. We would go, I don't know who we is. I don't remember who the people were that I went with that did this, but we would go and at nighttime and toilet paper people's trees.
Okay, no, I've got this on video, so you know.
Oh. Okay. Hey,
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean it and then, you know, I think it was Eugene Bambara's house. I think his parents came out and we just went, oh no, and took off, you know, because you weren't supposed to be doing that. I mean, it was pretty harmless, but you know, sure the parents didn't appreciate it.
Right. So, you know, if you could be Mr. Peabody and take the Wayback Machine, you know, and I think you mentioned already a couple of things. I mean, what do you think you might do differently if you had to do it all over again with, you know, 55 years of hindsight?
Yeah. Again, probably be more assertive and do more adventurous things. I don't mean adventure. I mean, like, taking a language that would then allow me to travel, you know, somewhere. I took French for like 5 years, but I didn't travel anywhere with it. Right. Or done more things that might have taken me out of my comfort zone, because I was a much more self-conscious, mm-hmm. you know, and I didn't do things very much out of my comfort zone yeah. for a long time.
Sure. You know? Understandable. Yeah. Yeah, that also is a common answer from people, you know.
Yeah.
But again, it's so easy to look back and say, what if?
So. That's true. Yeah. And, you know, knowing some people, one of my friends, I don't keep up with many people, just probably one person, occasionally another one. But like one gal I knew, her name was Mary Jane Musselman, and she died of breast cancer in her 30s, I think.
Very early. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. And I wish I'd, you know, when you're young, you don't think about dying and everything, but I wish I'd been more communicated more with people than I did. You know, I just caught up in my own little world, like you say. So
yeah, well, the life of a 17 or 18 year old teenager is not reality.
No, it's not.
Absolutely not. So it sounds like you've had quite a number of professional positions and you've done some interesting things. What do you see as the, you know, the biggest accomplishment or the thing that perhaps if you had a look back on your life that you're the most proud of?
I think it was the care that I gave to my patients. I really, I loved them. I tried to make their lives better because dialysis is a really crappy way to have to live.
Yeah, certainly.
And I really tried my hardest to do all that I could to help them, you know, manage their lives and make it a little bit better if possible. So that's probably, it's not actually a, you know, an award or whatever, but that was, my heart was in it, and that made me feel good.
That's a great answer. That's just terrific, and I'm glad you shared that with me. You know, I hate the term, but people say that they have bucket lists of things that they haven't accomplished yet, or haven't done yet, or haven't traveled to. What's on yours, if anything?
Well, I don't think it's realistic for me to want to climb Mount Rainier anymore. We tried it and I didn't make it up. Right. But that was my bucket list. And now I think I'm just a little too rickety to do that. If I could, I'd like to do that. But I think maybe just traveling a little bit more. You know, we've been to Japan. My son got married in Japan, and we've been to Fiji. We went on a trip to Fiji for our wedding, and Switzerland and stuff. But, you know, there's a few places I wouldn't mind going around, you know, traveling.
Great.
That's probably, and of course, making sure that the things that we stand for, which is not really part of a bucket list, but just trying to make this world a little bit of a better place. You
That's
know,
a great answer also. Thank you.
Service type of things. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Can we go back a few minutes? Mm-hmm. Tell me about your farm. What was that? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, we were looking for property just to kind of live in the country, and we had looked in a lot of places in Oregon, but the tax structure there is a little bit more onerous. So my husband found this property up in Washington. It's Washington up towards the north part. We were 40 miles from Canada. So up towards the north part, the last 100, 150 miles, it's a lot of orchards and that type of thing. And so we found this little farm that was 50 acres, and it seemed to be just the right size. It was on the Okanagan River, which is a river that flows into the Columbia. So we had that. And so we didn't realize actually how much how much work it would be because the rock, it was rocky ground, and my husband had to dig it all up and replant. We had alfalfa as the main crop, but we had, you know, cows and pigs and stuff like that. And I grew a huge garden. We actually grew just about everything that we ate. So we didn't have to, you know, we were pretty self-sufficient. But when my husband started having trouble with his heart, he was put on blood thinners.
Yeah.
And, you know, machinery is pretty darn dangerous. And a couple times he really, he almost killed himself. So the last time that he hurt himself, and partly because of all the, you know, swelling that happens when you bang yourself, he injured his back, and he kind of said, you know, this is too much. Can't do it anymore.
No mas, huh?
Yeah. So then we decided to move down to where my son was in New Mexico, because he had a job at Sandia National Lab, and it was a good job. And it was like, he wasn't going to come up and live on the farm.
Live on the farm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it was really, I would say it was almost idyllic up there. It was very good.
That's great. That's quite an experience.
Yeah, it was.
A couple of my friends that I met later on went from living in the city to owning a farm, and they just said it was the best thing they ever did for raising their kids.
Yeah.
You know, they just said there's nothing that you can compare to just trying to be totally self-sufficient. So
it is.
That's something to be very proud of also.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anything that you'd like to share that I haven't asked you about?
I was thinking about that the other day, and it would just be to hope and wish that my classmates have been able to not only enjoy their lives, but find delight in the world around us, you know, and really enjoy, you know, the trees, the clouds, all that kind of stuff, the bees, the frogs, whatever, you know, and really feel like they are connected to the environment.
I second that. And, you know, again, a number of people, you know, with whom I've been speaking over the past couple of months have really expressed very similar sentiments. And it's, you know, there's certainly that those are a great set of statements and ideals to have. So thank you for sharing that also.
And I should ask you, have you posted this stuff on the website yet?
Actually, you know, Joe DiMaggio, actually, let me take this offline, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to conclude. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So
it's been good to talk with you.
Stick around. Okay, thank you, Meredith.